الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome back to another beautiful episode on this silsila where we are discussing stories of the glorious Quran. And mind you, these stories, as we always mentioned, are not fairy tales. They are not made up stories. They are stories which have taken place in reality, and they contain numerous and countless madani pearls of advices and moral lessons for you and I, if only we implement them in our lives. In the very beginning, I will encourage you, myself included, to make good intentions. As our beloved master, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has stated, نِيَّةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِهِ The intention of a believer is better than his action. Therefore, don't delay. Make as many good intentions today. In fact, ulama kiram have advised us that when you get up in the morning, start making good intentions. This also has a positive psychological effect on your mind. Make the good intentions that, Ya Allah Azawajal, today I will not look at anything evil. I will not listen to anything evil. I will not speak anything evil. I will not walk towards anything evil. And whatever other good intentions you can think of, that's the time to make it. Make other good intentions now to gain maximum rewards from Allah Azawajal. Inshallah Azawajal. Make the good intentions that I'm listening to the silsila. I'm looking at the silsila for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, for the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And what I learn, I will try my best to practice upon it and to teach others as well. This is very important, because it's one thing just to gain knowledge, but if you really want to taste the sweetness of your knowledge, if you want your knowledge to benefit you, then we have to practice, my dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel. There's a beautiful Arabic proverb that says, Al-ilmu bila amalin kashajari bila thamarin. That knowledge without action, without practicing upon it, is like a tree without fruits. Therefore, if we want to enjoy the fruits of that tree, likewise, if it has fruits, we can enjoy. And similarly, if we want to enjoy the fruits of our knowledge, if you want to receive benefit, as mentioned earlier, we have to practice. And that too with good intentions. For each good intention, Allah Azza wa Jal grants a separate reward for that. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. And keep this in mind, that any good deed which is done without any good intention, there is no reward for that good deed. This is a principle you must keep in mind. And any good deed we are about to perform, ensure that there is a good intention behind that. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, there are so many benefits and blessings for the fortunate Muslims who recite Durood-e Paak, Salawat and salutations in abundance upon the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Benefit is not only attained in this world, in the grave, but also in the hereafter. Listen to this beautiful narration in the famous book called Tafsir-e-Kabir, written by the great and giant scholar of Islam, Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He mentions this narration that on the day of judgment, a Muslim will arrive that his deeds are being weighed, his bad deeds and his good deeds on the mizan. The mizan is the scale that it works differently to the scale of this dunya, of this world. Whatever is heavier, it goes higher, and whatever is lighter comes down. Therefore, this Muslim, he will see that his good deeds are lighter and the bad deeds are heavier. So what can he do now? It is mentioned just then, the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam will arrive, take out a piece of paper and will place it on the side of the good deeds and that will make the good deeds heavier than the bad deeds. Subhanallah. The Muslim, he will say, how graceful are you? How nurani and bright is your face? How blessed are you? Who are you? And the reply will come that, I'm your Nabi, I'm your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that paper I had taken out and placed on the side of your good deeds, that was the durood and salat you had recited upon me in the dunya, subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, if we want this kind of benefit, of blessing, especially in the hereafter when we'll need the most, then why not use our precious moments and our precious time in reciting abundant amounts of durood-e paak and salawat and salutations upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instead of using our time in unnecessary conversations, in humor and joking around. Use it as a wise person for a spiritual investment in the hereafter. This will benefit us, inshallah ta'ala. My dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, last week in our previous episode, we had dealt with the beloved Khidr alayhi salam and his whole incident as documented in the glorious Quran. Just a little dhikr about him as well today, but more on the great and pious king, Dhul Qarnain and Ya'juj and Ma'juj, this evil nation. Sayyidina Dhul Qarnain's name is Sikandar, and he is the cousin of Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam. In fact, Khidr alayhi salam had served him as a minister and a flag bearer in the forests. He is from the descendants of Sayyidina Sam bin Nuh alayhi salam and is the only son of his parents. He embraced Islam on the hands of the beloved Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, Sayyidina Nabi Ibrahim ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, and remained in his company for a long time. Sayyidina Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam also granted him some of his testaments, some of his scriptures. The correct opinion is that Dhul Qarnain radiyallahu an is not a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, but he was very pious. He was a righteous servant of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he was blessed with wilaya. He was a saint, a friend of Allah Azza wa Jal, subhanallah. Now why is he called Dhul Qarnain? Our beloved master, the cream of creation, the owner of Jannah, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, has mentioned that he became famous with the title of Dhul Qarnain, the one with two horns, because he made the journey of the two horns of the world, which means he traveled and he journeyed to the two corners of the world. Some are of the opinion that during his age, two Qaran had passed, and one Qaran is 100 years in length. Some have said that because he had two locks, Zulfain, therefore he is known as Dhul Qarnain. Another opinion is that there were two horns in his crown. Some are of the opinion that the sides of his head were a little out, and therefore it looked like horns, while others have mentioned that his parents were very pious and generous, and therefore he was called Dhul Qarnain. Allah Azza wa Jal and his beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam knows best. Allah Azza wa Jal blessed him with kingship of the entire world. There have been four kings in this world who had kingship and their kingdom extended over the entire world. Two of them were believers and two of them were disbelievers. Those two believers were none other than Sayyiduna Nabi Sulaiman ala Nabiyyina wa alihi salatu wassalam, and the other was Dhul Qarnain. And the two disbelievers were Bakht Nasr and Namrud. A fifth king who will rule the entire world will be from this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and his blessed name is Imam Mahdi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. As we mentioned, And one of the names of, or the title of Dhul-Qurnayn, one of the reasons is that Dhul-Qurnayn had traveled to corners of the world. And these were three journeys in the Holy Quran. These three journeys of Dhul-Qurnayn have been mentioned in Surah Kahf. Let us first narrate these stories from the Holy Quran, which are truly amazing. Listen carefully, but take the lesson and let us practice upon it, inshallah ta'ala. His first journey, Sayyidina Dhul-Qurnayn radiyallahu ta'ala an, had read in the old scriptures that there was a person from the family and the progeny of Sam bin Nuh alayhi salam who will drink water from the spring of eternity, the water of life, Abi Hayat, and death will not come to him. For this very reason, Sayyidina Dhul-Qurnayn traveled towards the west along with Khidr alayhi salam, and Khidr alayhi salam reached the spring of eternity and drank its water. But it was not in the destiny of Sayyidina Dhul-Qurnayn, and he remained deprived of drinking this water. During this journey towards the west, after covering the whole land where any sort of people existed, in fact nobody existed, for miles and miles and kilometers, nobody was staying there. And after traveling all of this, he reaches a place where at the time of sunset, it seemed as if the sun was drowning in a black spring. Just as those who travel by sea, they observe the sun drowning into the darkness of the water. There he met people who were wearing animal hides as clothing. There were no other dresses or clothing on their bodies other than that, and they had nothing to eat except for the dead animals of the river. These people were called Nasik. Sayyidina Dhul-Qurnayn saw that they had huge armies, and these people were very powerful warriors. Sayyidina Dhul-Qurnayn surrounded them with his huge army and made them helpless. Therefore, some among them were honored with embracing the true faith, whilst others were slain at the hands of the army. The second journey, Sayyidina Dhul-Qurnayn radiyallahu ta'ala an, then travels towards the east. When he reaches the place where the sun rises from, he comes across such people who had no houses, no dwellings, no buildings. Their condition was such that at the time of sunrise, they would hide inside the caves, and after sunset, they would come out of the caves and they would search for their livelihood. These people were known as Mansik. Sayyidina Dhul-Qurnayn also fought a war against these people. Those who embraced the true faith, they were dealt with compassion. And those who remained stubbornly upon their disbelief were destroyed. And that third journey, thereafter Sayyidina Dhul-Qurnayn travels north and reaches a place which is between the two mountains. The inhabitants of this area spoke a strange language. They could hardly communicate with them through gestures and sign language. These people, they complained to Sayyidina Dhul-Qurnayn about the oppression and the cruelties of the nation of Ya'juj, and they wanted help from him against this cruel nation. This Ya'juj Ma'juj, as is mentioned in English, Gog and Magog, this was a rebellious group from the progeny of Yafs bin Nuh alayhi salam. And these people were large in number. They had great numbers. They were very aggressive, very violent. They were brutal and wild, and they lived like animals. During the spring season, these people, they would come out of their caves, and they would eat up all the crops and vegetables and carry away anything dry with them. They would eat away human beings as well, so they were cannibals. They would eat wild animals, snakes, scorpions, chameleons, every big or small animal they would consume, they would eat it. The Sadr-e-Sikandari, which means the wall of Dhul-Qurnayn, people requested Sayyidina Dhulqarnain to save them from the mischief and the oppression of Ya'juj Ma'juj. And they also proposed to give him a lot of wealth in exchange if Dhulqarnain helped them. But Sayyidina Dhulqarnain told them, I don't need your wealth. Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal has granted me with everything. Just help me with physical assistance. Help me to build the wall. Therefore, he asked for a foundation to be dug in the middle of the two mountains. When water emerged out, rocks were placed firmly with the help of molten copper. Then iron planks, iron sheetings were firmly fixed and placed over and under those rocks, and the interior surface was filled with coal and wood. And then it was lit with fire. In this way, the wall was erected up to the height of the mountains, and no space was left between the two mountains. Then melted copper was poured into the wall. All of this combined together to create a firm, a sturdy and strong wall, an impenetrable wall. Now, this firm wall, which was constructed by Sayyidina Dhulqarnain, when will it be broken? A very good question. In fact, it has been stated in a blessed hadith that Ya'juj Ma'juj, every day they try to break this wall, and due to their continuous efforts, they try to break this wall. When they reach close to breaking it, then somebody from amongst them says that, leave it for today. We will break the remainder tomorrow. But when these people, when they arrive there on the next day, then by the command of Allah Azza wa Jal, this wall becomes even stronger than before. When the time of the breakage of this wall has come to pass, someone amongst them will say, Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, we will break this wall that's remaining tomorrow. And due to the blessings, and as a reward of them saying, Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, the wall will break tomorrow on that next day. This will be the time when the day of judgment will be close. After the breaking of this wall, Gog and Magog, or Ya'juj Ma'juj, they will rush out in their huge numbers, and they will cause so much of fitna, so much of confusion and corruption and bloodshed and destruction everywhere. They will drink up all the water of the springs and the ponds and the lakes. They will eat up the trees, the animals, and they will spread out everywhere in this earth. However, they will be unable to enter in three cities, and that is Makkatul Mukarramah, Madinatul Munawwarah, and Baytul Maqdis, where there is Masjid Al-Aqsa. Then through the dua and the supplication of Nabi Isa Ruhullah ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam, worms will start to grow in their necks, and they will all be destroyed in this manner. In fact, the glorious Quran has mentioned this in Surah Anbiya, verse 96. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. حَتَّى إِذَا فُتِحَتْ يَأْجُوجُ وَمَأْجُوجُ وَهُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ حَدَبٍ يَنْسِلُونَ. Translation from Kanzum Iman. Till the time when Ya'juj and Ma'juj are released, and they will be flowing down from every height. صَلُّوا عَلَى الْحَبِيبِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. My dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, have you heard this? That Ya'juj and Ma'juj, their numbers are countless. They are cannibals. They would eat human beings. They would eat anything, in fact. Animals, they would eat trees. And they would oppress the people. They would confuse the people and create much corruption on the earth. And that time is fast approaching us. Many of the minor signs are there already for us. The minor signs, most of which have been completed. Don't we see time? If you look at people, everybody's complaining that we don't have time. And time is going so fast that a month goes like a week, and a week goes like a day, and a day goes like an hour. My dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, indeed, this is one of the signs that was foretold by our beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that towards the end there will not be any barakah and blessings in time. Therefore, we must ask ourselves, dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, what am I doing with my time? My life is very short. Whatever arguments and quarrels I'm having with my spouse or my parents or my children or my fellow Muslims with other people, it's of no use to me. When my eyes close and Malik al-Maut alayhi salam, the angel of death finally comes for my soul, what will happen? No matter what big problems we have, calamities, sicknesses, the biggest we can think of, all of this is temporary. Don't forget that. Like our lives are temporary, our biggest problems are also temporary. And when the angel of death comes, those problems disappear. But the real problems, the really big problems will start in the qabr, in the grave, if we haven't prepared for it, if we haven't done good deeds, if we haven't followed the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we haven't followed the commands of the glorious Quran, then we're in big trouble. Today is the day of action, not accountability. And tomorrow is the day of accountability, not action. My dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, think about this. While we are living, we have the ability to speak, we have the ability to walk, we have the ability to hold, to do ibadat, to do the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this worship of Allah Azza wa Jal is our purpose of being created. Are we doing this? Nobody is telling us that we must lock ourselves in our room, in our home, or run into the middle of the jungles and the forests and just do the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Just perform salah and fast the whole day. Nobody is telling us to do that. Believe me, ulama ikram, they have advised us that if you follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you will be doing ibadat all the time. You will be obeying Allah Azza wa Jal. You will be obeying the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore, you can be in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal because of that obedience. مَنْ يُطِعُ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَعَ اللَّهِ Whoever has obeyed the Rasul, so indeed he has obeyed Allah Azza wa Jal. أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ The Quran mentions many places. Obey Allah and obey the Rasul. Are we doing this? Ask ourselves. Sometimes you must look into the mirror, look at yourself and ask yourself, question yourself. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the second Khalifa of Islam, the second successor of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he would sometimes do this, what we call in Dawat Islami Fikr in Medina. He would contemplate over his actions. He would hit his foot and ask him, what did you do today? Are we asking ourselves, what did you do today? And Madani Inamat, which is designed by Amir Ahl Sunnat, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, the founder of Dawat Islami, is designed for this purpose, to help us to reform ourselves, to rectify ourselves. Yes, we need encouragement, we need motivation, we need good company. Where can we find this? In the environment of Dawat Islami. This is what your Dawat Islami offers you. Get associated with the Madani activities of Dawat Islami. Make sure that you attend the weekly sunnah-inspired ijtima of Dawat Islami for Islamic brothers, separately on other days for Islamic sisters in an area or masjid or Madani markaz near you. Get enrolled in Madrasatul Madina for children, for adults, for grown-ups as well, or online. Dawat Islami has made it so easy that if we don't have access to a Madrasatul Madina in our locality, at least online via the internet, we can enroll into this course. Even online Jamiatul Madina, subhanallah, the Alim course, Darsi Nizami, is available. Purchase the books of Maktabatul Madina, the publishing department of Dawat Islami, and read it yourself and give it to other Muslims as gifts. Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah advises us that buy these books in large quantities, and when you have weddings or walimas or urs or these kind of programs distributed there, instead of just giving wedding cards, give a booklet of Maktabatul Madina, of Amir Ahl Sunnat as a gift in conjunction with that wedding card. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, you don't know. If somebody reads that book and their life changes, because these books are designed, they are islahi books, they are books to reform people, they are designed for this purpose. If that person reads that book and changes their life and gets closer to Allah Azza wa Jal and the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then you will also get thawab, you will also get reward. And this is part of the spiritual investment. Why do we only look at the investment of this dunya? Because we can see that currency in front of us. But the reward of the akhirah is true. And this will be beneficial for us in this world, in the grave and hereafter. My dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, I hope that we have taken lessons from this episode today. Please join us on our next episode of this beautiful silsila. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.